definitely for me in the future, I want to build those bridges. Now, whether that's in the private sector through a freight forwarding company, or through a trading company, or through even a bank sector or anything like that, or whether it's through the public sector, working through the multilateral institutions such as NATO or the World Trade Organization or the UN on the behalf of Canada, or even just as a administrative lead, that's how I see myself contributing. There's no other option for me other than going and pursuing exactly what I want to do and being confident in my ability that I will be able to contribute to public discourse in the future and shape the world that I live in. And like, that's another thing about this this program. And I'd say, like, people don't understand it when they're in school, and they don't understand it even when they're doing one of their early jobs, or they're just in the beginning of their career. Public discourse and public diplomacy and foreign policy, all these things that people think are really difficult to get into, it's just that you haven't been exposed to it. Once you have your eyes open, and once you actually get an opportunity to be part of the organization, to see what an NGO and a nonprofit does, you automatically start seeing all the links in the academic communities and the journalistic communities, and it gives you not only like a network, but it gives you an overview. You get to see a line, a career path. I feel like that's really important for people in my generation who are always looking to find a straight up answer to what they're supposed to be doing.
There's so many opportunities for you to engage with those that are around you. And if you're interested in the government, or if you're interested in the private sector, if you're interested in banking or in finance or in investments, we have a team of directors here who are committed to the association. And as a result of being affiliated with the association, you oftentimes have a chance to, you know, obtain advice from professionals who have been in the field for a number of years. So that is beneficial on its own, to have someone mentor you, to have someone that you can reach out to obtain advice, or even to have the chance to attend an event and to make that connection on your own. Because oftentimes people who want to pursue a profession, they benefit from obtaining that advice from someone who can say, well, this is what I've done, this is what I've been able to achieve, and this is what you can do in order to, you know, establish a similar career as I have. The best way to learn and the best way to be successful is to have a network of people that you can reach out to. Have those people that you can pick up the phone, you can ask for advice, have those people who will be able to say, well, you know, you're on the right path, keep doing what you're doing. Let me connect you with someone that I know that might perhaps be able to, you know, help you in the future. So that's definitely something that the association does. And at the same time, the team of program editors and the team of research analysts that we have here have been actively engaged in attending all of the events, all of the roundtables, all of the forums, and pretty much all of the things that the association has worked on putting together. Like, every time we have an event, our team of program editors will work on the event. And that's why a lot of our events have been a huge success, because the commitment to the association is present. But at the same time, you can see that ambition and that desire to want to push forward. So obviously with the gala that we had a while ago celebrating our 50th anniversary, that was a huge success. And every time we put on an event, we have, as you know, we have a program coordinator who organizes the event and who is in a way the lead of that event. So we had Elise Wagner, who was the program coordinator for the gala. And the way that that gala worked is everyone worked together. So as the coordinator, Elise was able to guide everyone. And at the same time, all of the program editors came together. All of the research analysts that were around assisted any way they could. And as a result of everyone being committed to the association, and as a result of everyone working closely together, that event was a huge success. And I have to say that I'm looking forward to, you know, a few of our upcoming events that we will have here at the NATO Association of Canada. We have a few roundtables coming up in August. So again, I encourage everyone to go on our website and to look at our upcoming events. But the question that I wanted to ask you is if you could discuss any major project that you have been involved in that is just memorable, that you'd like to share that experience with our listeners today.
The gala, to just begin with, the gala was really, it was impactful on me when I saw all the people in the office coming together and working to conduct an extremely professional presentation. It was awesome. Everything was going, as with every event and anyone who's ever planned an event, you can mitigate for as much as you want, but in the end, you're always going to encounter problems that are unforeseen. It always happens. And whoever tells you it doesn't,
they're
that
lying.
Everything went off of the hits, they're lying. They're just burying it.
Yeah.
And that definitely happened at the gala, but everybody was on top of it and everybody was working together to fix it. And it was great work by Elise coordinating everything. It was a huge gala with over 300 guests, with VIP as our keynote speaker was Brian Mulrooney, the Right Honorable. And it was amazing that it got that when I look back and I thought this got put on by a bunch of interns. And they put on this amazing event, and they were given the opportunity to put on this amazing event, and they did an amazing job with it. And seeing that, and seeing the level of professionality with which it was handled with, and the skills that people gained in that space was awesome. I personally loved helping and assisting with the entire event. The other thing is, as part of the internship, you're tasked with creating one of your own events. And I think that's one of the best additions to the entire internship program, is to get an event planned by yourself on a topic that you're interested in, and if not, to be at least involved deeply in one event or another that the organization is putting on. So I wanted to run my own event.
Tell us more about
that. And eventually I came to the conclusion that I wanted to do it with someone else in the office, and we brainstormed an idea and we brought it up, and it eventually petered out a little. And then another idea came up and it petered out a little, and I thought, you know, this is just slightly discouraging, I can't really nail something down. And but that's just the process of figuring out a successful event that people will actually want to attend and that'll actually promote the mission objective that you have. And most recently, I've finally successfully gotten an idea together, with a proposal together, with event planning. I've sent out contacts to all the people that I want to come to it, and the event is finally taking shape. And my event is titled Violence and Security in International Trade. It's about the challenges and problems that arise from illicit activities in international trade, and how Canada and specifically NATO are involved in securing our ocean faring trade, and how different topics that are coming up in geopolitical issues are going to affect the flow of economics and goods. How China's new position in Asia and its growing economic strength are going to affect the way we transport goods, their territorial claims in the South China Sea, the One Road, One Belt economic initiative, different new technology used to scan containers and to stop criminals from putting on everything from drugs and weapons to shipping containers to just illegally manufactured goods without proper labeling and tariffs on them. All these things are really important. They're the lifeblood of our economies. They're how we enjoy everything day to day. And I think, you know, our role in that as a country and as a military and as a trading power needs to be highlighted to people. Not only highlighted, I think we need to provide a forum where professionals in the field can discuss future challenges, can discuss how to address these new patterns that are arising to encourage and maintain economic prosperity.
And now, with your interest in civil society, development, extractive resource ownership, and emerging security issues. Can you please discuss some of your most recent publications?
So some of my most recent publications, I detailed in one of my recent publications on the issue of Brexit, I detailed how the factors of immigration and the fact that immigration was being used to kind of negatively being used was missing a larger point about the economic impact of the free flow of labor. So everybody in the Brexit debate was using the Nigel Farage and the Leave side were using the fear-mongering of, you know, migrants are coming in and they're changing what England is. And the Stay side was using the fear-mongering that everybody was becoming xenophobic and everybody was racist. And these are all good points. Like, Nigel Farage was being, you know, offensive. But he was also pointing out a good point. He was pointing out the fact that the free flow of labor of workers from European countries that had weaker economies who were leaving their countries to go work in England were being used by big businesses and larger entities in the corporate world to undermine the wages of British workers. So I think it's important to address these concerns because the European Union was never a political union. It was, for a long time, it was only an economic union. And the countries agreed to cede some of their foreign policy autonomy to the EU bodies. But it's still a very thorny issue when it comes to borders within the EU, because they haven't consolidated their borders completely. Even though they're open, they haven't erased them. And I think that's something important to remember, especially now that we see all the terrorist attacks in Europe. We see a lot of the fear in the European population. I think it's important to remember that Europe is a country where all the nations know their national identities. They know who is in from what country, no matter how European they might say they are, no matter how integrated they might have become. People always remember what country they're from. They're very proud of their nation. My family was from the former Yugoslavia. We're proud to be from there. Magda's family is from Poland, and she is from Poland, and she's proud to be from Poland. People remember these things. Regardless of how much a part of the Europe you are, you will always remember what country you came from. And until we can get over that, we need to be very careful how we deal with the free flow of labor.
Marco, with all of the work that you've done, where do you see yourself 5 years from now?
Hopefully I see myself still employed. No.
You'll be employed. No,
definitely, definitely. With all the work that I've done, I really hope to see myself in a higher profile job in the private sector, in somewhere where I can get a little bit of influence in the day-to-day businesses of companies that work in the developing world and in other parts outside of North America, working with local businesses to foster growth. I think that's a really important thing that we can do. Developing countries don't want the Western world to come and act paternalistic and to act like we're helping them and they can't help themselves. They want people to come and give them enough capacity so that they can, you know, pick themselves up. They want to pick themselves up, essentially. They want to have a loan. You can't get a loan in a lot of parts of sub-Saharan Africa because you don't have any collateral. There's no land-basing rights. There's no property contracts. You can't say, oh, I have a house, I have a car, because they don't have the documentation in certain places to prove it. But they do have these assets, and you could give them a good loan, and they would repay it, and they would build a business out of it. That's what I want to do. That's where I see myself working, is in that field. I see myself doing something that involves working on an equal basis with people who want to build things in parts of the world where there's a lot of opportunity for small companies and industrious people to build something out of their lives and build something for their communities. And I want to work with them on an equal partnership. I want to profit from it as much as they want to profit from it, because that's the only way it can be conceived as legitimate. I think. When we both stand to have something to gain, then it's a worthwhile enterprise. That's the same thing with defense, it's the same thing with economics. Economic prosperity, peacefulness, these things are all related on the concept of reciprocity. I give you something, I get something in return. This is an equation that works for people, and it always does, because people understand it as fair. It's one of the hardest things to define, but it is, at the base level, it's fair. I lend you some money, you start your business, I get back my money with some interest. That's fair. Everybody thinks that.
I agree with you. Everything in life is a transaction. You give something, you get something in exchange for that. And now for all of the listeners today who are interested in contacting you, what is the best way to get a hold of you?
Best way to get a hold of me is through my email. It's marco.gombach@yahoo.ca, or through my LinkedIn profile, which is just my name, Marco, M-A-R-K-O, and Gombach, G-O-M-B-A-C. Those are the best ways to contact me. I'm always checking it. I'm on every other social media aspect as well, but those are the two most checked platforms.
Perfect. Marco, I want to really thank you for doing this interview with me. It's been a complete pleasure. Are there any final words that you'd like to leave with our listeners today?
Just that the opportunity to be interviewed and to be treated like someone deserving of an interview is an amazing experience. And I'd love to thank Magdalena Surma for her work in interviewing us as part of this program to expose us and our work, and to highlight the value of this organization. It's really invaluable, and it really shows a degree of care and a degree of professionalism from a fellow colleague.
Thank you so much, Marco. You're the best.